The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, since God did such a good job delivering the Hebrew people from Egypt, what's he going to do about delivering the people of America? Or will he instead judge the people of America? Will our sins, for example, encourage God to let the San Andreas Fault just do its thing, even without the help of Lex Luthor, alias Gene Hackman, buying up worthless real estate in the California desert so that he could open up new seaside resorts such as Casa Deluxe or Lutherville, or maybe even give a town to his friend Ned Beatty called Otisburg? Well, my friend, if you live in California, if you actually are one of the people that live here, not the ones listening to us streamed across the country, then you already know that Sacramento does far more damage to the country than San Andreas ever could. Some people, like my very good friend and fellow pastor Jim Barrier, were smart enough to take their cue from the ancient Hebrews, get out while the getting was good, and migrate to another promised land called Texas. Jim, welcome back to San Diego and welcome back to our program.
Otisburg.
I know.
Otisburg.
I love it. And I know we're dating. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, you're dating yourself and you talk about this movie or that. Well, I happen to know the baby boomers are still the biggest audience for conservative talk radio. That should not be the case.
They have the money.
Because our wisdom, well, they have the money. And, well, they're the ones in transition.
Just, yeah.
Of course, baby boomers are also the ones at the universities that are ruining the minds of our kids. So those are my fellow baby. But baby boomers are at the transition. They saw the culture that the World War II generation gave us. Yeah, they're seeing the culture they're giving. But anyway, they're the biggest demographic, to my understanding, with talk radio. I know it's at least over 35, but I think even out of those over 35, there's probably more baby boomers.
Not surprising.
Well, Jim, let's see. Let's talk about your background. What's the name of your church again in San Antonio?
Southtown Community Church. It's in San Antonio. It's a inner city church. So,
and it's a non-denominational
church? Non-denominational. It's very hard to describe. Okay. Very eclectic congregation. It's multicultural.
And you guys do an awful lot with reaching out to the poor and the needy, don't you?
That's really our biggest mission. We feed about 100 homeless people every Wednesday night. Our midweek service, we actually serve people. Novel concept. And we do a lot of relief work there with inner city people.
And I know that your church does that more than some, but I also know that this is a mission that a lot of churches do. And we don't hear that as much in the media. People kind of think Christians are here to tell other people how to live and to act like they're better. And yeah, I hear this often when I talk to kids. If Christians would just do things for the poor and do the kinds of things Jesus did. And I'm saying, you know, that happens. You just don't hear about it on MSNBC and CNN.
And in a lot of cases, I think the pastors or ministries, people that do that kind of thing, don't really want
the fanfare, because they have humility. Yeah.
They have humility and they want to avoid imperial entanglements.
Okay. So by me inviting you on the radio show, am I challenging your humility a little bit?
We're good.
No,
I can talk about it out here.
In fact, my friend Jim is the humblest guy in the world. That's how humble he is. So,
really.
Anyway, what year did you move from San Diego to Texas?
Well,
he's a Chargers fan.
I still am. Chargers, Padres. Painful.
Do you have to not talk about that in Texas?
No, I'm good because.
But, oh boy, Texas, they'll still tar and feather you, won't they?
Well, the thing is I moved to San Antonio and they won 5 championships. And so a lot of inner healing has taken place for me.
Well, you know, they never got over the Alamo, so they got to win championships make up for that.
Well, here's what I've said. You brought it up, but being a sports fan in San Diego, which I still support the teams, I've always said is like being in love with a beautiful woman who cheats on you. You can't break the relationship off because you're just emotionally involved, but she keeps breaking your heart over and over again. And that's sports in San Diego, folks.
I don't follow sports as much as some, but I've got to tell you, that was one of the best sports analogies I've ever heard as far as, you know, changing your cities and still loving your own team. That is something else. Well, let's see. Let's talk a little bit about how we first met. It's an interesting story. You go ahead.
Well, you were in San Antonio for a debate. I think debating
one
of the...
It was
going
to be Easter Sunday morning. The atheist, there was this in-your-face, we're going to debate whether God exists on Easter.
And
they thought I was. They probably thought I was making some horrible sacrifice to not be in church on Easter Sunday morning. I'd rather be at an atheist debate than hearing about the...
I would like to
hear about
been
the resurrection every Easter. You know, it's kind of funny. When I was pastoring my church, mm-hmm. I preached about something different on Easter Sunday morning because I was thinking, you know, just as the swallow flies south every winter, the Easter bird flies out to church. Yeah. And they're only going to church once a year. They're hearing the same message. That's an important message, but the resurrection's important all year round. And you're thinking, they're hearing it. They're getting it. They're still not giving their lives to Christ. Talk about something a little different.
It was a great thing. And, you know, I'm already going to jump off here. I was down at the beach yesterday in Coronado, and there's a big group of people, and lo and behold, it was from Skyline Church, and they were having a baptismal service.
In the ocean.
In the ocean, and I talked to a couple of people there. I was baptized at a youth camp in 1968 with Skyline Wesleyan Church.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I was having a real time there just watching. It brought back a lot of memories and stuff. So that was a great thing.
And you ran into one of our pastors.
Yeah.
Because this morning, while I was at Skyline Wesleyan Church, no shameless plug intended, somebody said, hey, do you know a guy named Jim Barrier? We saw him at the beach yesterday.
Yeah. Well, the man who baptized me was one Jimmy Johnson, not the race car driver, not the football coach, but Jimmy Johnson, the greatest youth pastor in the history of youth pastors.
Oh, I almost thought you were going to say one Jimmy Garlow.
It
was going to be our pastor Garlow when he was
good
just
guy too.
Jimmy Garlow.
Jimmy Johnson baptized me, and he also said this one time. He got up on Easter Sunday and said, Merry Christmas. Some of you I won't be seeing until then.
That's funny. Oh my gosh. So let's see. Let's go. We're both very tangential guys, which is why we get along so well. So you had me on your show the night before because I thought this is going to be the first time that I'm doing a debate and there probably won't even be one Christian in the audience. It's usually mixed Christians, atheists.
Right.
And as so you guys, you and Gary, what was Gary's last name again?
Gary Young.
Gary Young. I met Jim and Gary even before we went on the air, just talking and bantering and kidding. Within 5 or 10 minutes, the three of us felt like we'd known each other and had been friends our whole lives. It's rare that you meet somebody like that. So we did the show, and then I found out the next day that as a result of people hearing your show, a couple of Christians had been standing in the back of the auditorium praying for me throughout the whole debate.
We had plants in the crowd. And I heard great reports about that.
Well,
even
the atheist website, I went to their website, they were grudgingly admitting that I had won the debate. But that shows some integrity on their part, because sometimes people decide who wins the debate before they even hear it.
Absolutely.
At least it showed some integrity.
It was a great beginning to a great relationship.
And then I started coming on
by phone.
And then I started having the two of you on my show by phone. The two of you were in San Diego once. We did a show right before Obama's election.
Well,
I remember this woman called in and she says, you three sound like you're having a great time. Well, we were having a great time because Obama hadn't been elected yet.
Well, you know, you were talking about
the great time I've had on the show.
End of the world and the earthquakes and everything else. You know, the blood moon thing. They're crazy about that.
Well, that's supposed to happen. We've been hearing a lot about that, too. I guess I'm going to really commit myself.
No.
Today's the day.
Go right ahead, because if you don't, I will.
I'm inclined to think that nothing's going to happen. But I've got 2 days. I got the rest of today and tomorrow. It does say in Revelation the moon will turn to blood. John might have been looking into the future and seeing what we call a blood moon. But Jesus also said, nobody knows the day or the hour.
That's the deal.
And even after he resurrected and the disciples said, will you now restore the kingdom of Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his authority.
I know. And that's been, 88 reasons why Jesus would come back in 1988 and all the way back. I've been watching this stuff. The problem with that, we had a lot of that meaning, because there's a famous pastor where I live who wrote some books and, you know, did a lot of promotion about the Blood Moon thing. And,
well, of course, that's the real reason people believe he's coming back, because you can write and publish
exactly.
books.
Well, I did a little research, and as it turns out, this has happened 8 times since the time of Christ, and the world hasn't ended on any of those events.
Well, now, I've also heard people say a lot of significant events in Israel's history have correlated on them, and they have, but you know what? When has there not been a significant incident
exactly.
in Jewish history? Because they had things up there like... The Jews got banished from Spain when there was a blood moon. Well, but they left out little things like the Holocaust.
Yeah, there's probabilities. I read a book on probabilities once, and if you get on any large-sized commercial airliner, this is reality. Mathematically, the odds are you and one other person on that plane know somebody in common.
Yeah,
and that's and if you bumped into him, you'd go, you know that person, you think, ooh, and you'd get goosebumps, but it's just probability.
We proved that by you bumping into one of the pastors of Skyline at the beach.
Exactly. Now, the thing is the few scriptures that talk about the moon turning to blood also say the sun will be blackened out. Well, no, there's not a solar eclipse taking place, so you still got a problem just scientifically.
Well, you know, here's the really good news, Jim.
Yeah?
Even gospel means good news.
Yeah.
Supposing you and I are wrong and the world's going to come to an end tomorrow, the last thing anybody's going to be thinking about tomorrow is this radio show, so we're not going to have to answer to anybody. Yeah. Well, God.
Yeah, whoever's
God,
left,
God,
if there's
maybe.
Anybody left. Yeah. No, you know, I'm fine. I'm good either way, but I just don't think, I'm with you. I don't think that anyone's going to be able to pinpoint it.
I never thought anything was going to happen on Y2K either, except maybe a few minimal things.
Oh, my
gosh. The worst case scenario is I went to a little old gas station in Northern California. It wasn't working that day. So I guess the 2-digit not being changed to help that. But
yeah, I know.
Yeah, we'll see. If we're wrong, we'll eat crow. But again, if the world comes to an end tomorrow and nobody has food or nobody's going, I heard about this on the Bob Seger, well, it won't happen. So, but if it doesn't end, you and I are going to be a couple of heroes, because they're going to go, Jim and Bob, we're the only ones telling us nothing's going to happen.
Man.
My friend, one thing that's fun is we're both very opinionated, and as the audience
hears,
that's
what you think.
We can get tangential, but I've been doing something fun the last few weeks. I've been going on Twitter more. I've had a Twitter account for years. I've always liked Facebook more, because Twitter is particularly challenging to me. Imagine me, of all people, having to say things in just 2 sentences.
Exactly.
But I went to a writer's conference a couple of years ago, because I write books, and they were saying more people read Twitter than anything else. You're more influential on Twitter than anything else. So the last couple of weeks, I've been doing a lot more tweeting.
Okay.
And I've been having some fun kind of going through the week's news and reading my tweets over the air. So we're going to do that again. Yes, it's time for another episode of Tweets with your old pal, Bob.
It's hosting nights in Vegas.
Okay, now, Jim, I'm already breaking the rule, because before I even talk about the tweets, because there was a lot of news this week, and a lot of it was about Ben Carson, and a lot of it was about the DOJ, and of course, a lot of it was about the Pope. Now, I know I'm going to really have some people want to read me the riot act of this. Am I crazy? I am so sick and tired of hearing about the Pope's visit. And I mean no disrespect. I'm not a Catholic. Technically, if you wanted to get it into the broad categories, I'm what you call a Protestant, evangelical Christian. I mean no disrespect. I had a Catholic apologist on my show. We got along great. I don't agree with all the teachings of the Catholic Church, but I don't agree with all the teachings in any church. And I don't believe that God has given us a pope, but in the Old Testament, God didn't want the Israelites to have a king either.
Right.
But they wanted a king. So he honored the office of a king. He worked with the kings. He took great interest in the kings. So do I believe God can work with popes and through popes, even though the pope wasn't his idea? Sure, I do. So that's my big disclaimer. But having said that, I'm trying to watch something interesting on Fox News, and all of a sudden we got to stop because the pope's got a parade. And ladies and gentlemen, you are aware that you can have your own relationship with Jesus. You are. You can, you know, you're excited about the pope, seeing the pope on TV, meeting the pope. They even sell Pope souvenirs at the Vatican. They're doing it in New York City, and people are saying, oh, that's disgusting. The Vatican does that. You go to the Vatican, you know, you get
been there.
A little Pope pinup. Don't they even have a Pope on a rope or something?
Pope on a rope.
Or I might just be thinking of Robin Williams from Good Morning Vietnam.
But. Lucky for you, they're not passing a law that you can't say anything bad about the
Pope. Yeah, but they are passing laws about other things. Well, let's talk about Ben Carson.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to just read the tweets as I wrote them. Good, if you want to respond, I'll let you respond in less than two lines. But I had to say this. I wrote this. Carson may have hurt his campaign with words about Sharia and our Constitution. Politics usually do suffer when a man speaks the truth.
You know, that's why the prophets lived in caves.
Yeah, you know? That's true. People didn't like hearing their word. I'm sure there are a lot of people. I've already heard Republicans come out and say, oh, that was a gaffe.
Yeah.
It was like Joe Biden's gaffe. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my gosh.
Let me tell you what a gaffe is. A gaffe is when Joe Biden gets up and talks about when Franklin Roosevelt went on television, which, although it had been invented, no American owned one in their home, went on television to talk about the stock market having crashed in the Great Depression, which we didn't have under Roosevelt. We had it under Hoover. That's a gaffe. A gaffe is when Joe Biden gets up to honor this general, this army vet who's confined to a wheelchair, and he gets up and says, let's just have him stand up right now and give him a good applause. Oh, go ahead, Stacey. Those are gaffes. When Ben Carson says that, he said not all Muslims would do this, but if there was a Muslim that believed in Sharia law, when he says that would be incompatible enough with our Constitution that he doesn't think that person should be the president, he's speaking his opinion, which he's allowed to give, and his opinion happens to be the truth. But I'm sure people sat him down and go, oh, my gosh, you know, that you lost the Democrats. And of course, and then you always talk about this precious independents who are only going to decide the election based on whether somebody's tie was fitting or how soft-spoken he was or whether he looked
the last few times, has it?
Yeah, we try to pick these moderate people, and they're not losing. Anyway.
Has that worked in the last?
It hasn't worked out.
8 years. Yeah.
Well, now the next tweet kind of followed that. CARE, that stands for Council of Islamic Relations. CARE calls for Carson to drop campaign due to his view of Islam. Meanwhile, the Quran itself forbids befriending Jews or Christians. And I even wrote where you can find that in Quran chapter 5.
You know, there's such a double standard. And you know that. You probably talk about it all the time. I think what you said at the start, people don't like it when someone tells the truth. And there are certain topics that are just taboo. And obviously, if they're taking legislation or just trying to make laws, no one wants to take on Islam. And I have known Muslims. I agree with the notion that there can be, you know, peace-loving Muslims. They probably don't understand jihad, as we say in Texas, jihad.
There can be jihad. That's how you say it in Texas. Jihad, I like that. Well, there can be peace-loving Muslims, and there are, but I don't think they're reading their own Quran. Just like you and I know people that call themselves Christians.
And they don't know anything
know
about the
Bible
book.
From shoe polish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, here's another one. The DOJ, Department of Justice. Now, I don't know how people talk about this Department of Justice and say the word justice with a straight face. It gets even worse. So it's not just CARE. This is another tweet. DOJ warns a possible prosecution to those who criticize Islam on social media. Will they prosecute Muslims who preach death to Israel?
Exactly. You know, Department of Justice right now is one of the greatest oxymorons, you know, in our culture. That stuff is nuts because you can't get up and express Christian views because people will bombard you with criticism and they'll laugh at you and they'll scorn you. And there's no rule saying you can't do that.
Exactly. And it's not just that it's in their own book, the Quran, but I hear people say that on TV. And
I know you have read the Quran. So.
I have read the Quran covered. I always hear you got to read it in context. Yeah, folks. I've read it. I've read it in context. Let me tell you the context.
Yeah.
It means what it says. That's the context. And it actually says to go out on these. Now, these others are variations of this about the DOJ, but I wanted to make different points. And, of course, on Twitter, I can only make them one at a time.
Fire away. Tweet away.
DOJ says anti-Islam talk may be violation of civil rights. Are they aware the Quran has anti-Jewish and anti-Islam Christian speech. So it's similar to what I said with the Ben Carson one.
A violation of civil rights. You mean like freedom of speech? One of those?
Oh, Obama believes in freedom of speech. You're free to agree with him. That's the freedom of speech he agrees with. Well, as you can see, when they say social media, they mean they're watching Twitter. I don't know if it was the smartest thing, but I got so enraged when I heard that. The first thing I did is I went and put out five tweets about it. Yeah. So anyway, here's another one with another slant, and this dovetails into something else that's been in the news. DOJ, critique of Islam civil rights issue. Death threats against Christian Kim Davis, civil rights issue. Don't hold your breath. This was a woman, of course, who was not doing the,
I know the story. Out there in Kentucky.
The marriage licenses.
Yeah.
I mean, it's contemptible the way she has been treated. And I'll put away the death threats. Probably the DOJ would still, they'd have to do something about a death threat. But the vile things this woman's being called.
Yeah.
The name she's being called, nobody ever considers that hate speech.
No, it's only hate speech if it's against the president or people that he is compassionate toward. Now, on the Kim Davis thing, I am a little bit mixed on the thing. There's two sides. First of all, she was upholding the law.
I think my friend Jim's about to say he doesn't agree with me. Jim, it's been great having you on the show. Come back again anytime. We got a new guest. No, go ahead.
You know, well, folks, he asked me to come on the show because he wanted to debate me and wanted me to play devil's advocate here.
I actually thrive on that. Go right.
So I understand that on one level she was upholding the state law, but then you had the Supreme Court decision, and there is always that thing where you can say, I can't do this job in good conscience, and so you walk away. And I think she wanted to make a statement, but I
don't think our views are as far apart as you think. I said on the air, maybe she should have just resigned. That's probably what I would have done. But having said that, back when the law of the land was different, such as the first 200 plus years of our country, and almost every month in the year 2015,
ancient history
that we're still living, when California passed a law affirming marriage between a man and a woman, Mayor Newsom in San Francisco gave out licenses anyway. Got in everybody's face, went on the air. I remember hearing it, whether you like it or not, with that big, arrogant smile. Now, did he go to jail? What about the people that run sanctuary cities, which technically is against the law of the land, even though our federal government's winking? There's a lot of Obama, with all the scandals he's been in, Hillary Clinton with all the scandals she's been in.
Oh, Lord.
See, when they all go to, I kind of feel like when they all go to jail, put Kim Davis in jail too. That's kind of the way I'm looking at it. But I agree with you that certainly a valid option would have been for her to say, if I can't do this job in good conscience, maybe I should step down. On the other hand, when she took her oath to office and was sworn in, the law was different.
Yeah, that's right.
And if she wants to say, I don't recognize the Supreme Court's right to reinterpret our Constitution, well, she may not be a legal scholar, but it would mean she knows the Constitution better than a lot of so-called legal scholars.
I'm sure she did.
That was something they never did till Marbury versus Madison. And even though they sided with Jefferson had enough integrity and consistency to say, I'm scared that the court made a decision like that. And they sided with him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, so... Yeah, I can understand the mixed reactions, but it just gets into so many other things about where we're headed. And
it's when the Supreme Court made that decision, and I was one of many that was surprised. Really, I was shocked.
Oh, I wasn't. No, because you never know what this one can do.
Well, being a pastor, and I'm very involved. This is a funny thing, Bob. I teach classes for the state of Texas, or at least I have for the last five years, pre-marriage classes that the state of Texas ordains. So under their umbrella, I teach pre-marriage workshops for couples that want to get married. And if they attend the whole course, when they're done, then they get a voucher that gives them a $60 discount off of their marriage license. And, when all of this happened, I said, this is probably the last year I can do this to the people I work with. I said, because I know what's going to happen. And I got an email today from someone asking if same-sex couples can attend the class. Well, because it's a state thing, I know I can't say no. So I just...
Jim, my friend, we're reaching toward the day when it won't have to be a state thing. There are already people that have done lawsuits against churches.
And all over.
All this church and state separation is just bumped... Let's move on to another tweet here. I got two more.
Oh, yeah. And then we get to hear the song again?
And then we're you will get to hear that song again. Nick can't wait. Nick loves that song. He's in there chomping at the bit to play that. Dana likes it, too.
I can tell.
My lovely wife likes it, and my wife is right about so many things. Unfortunately, she and I have to part company over this song, but it fits the segment. Okay, back to the Pope. Mm-hmm. I wrote, when Pope's words are claimed by both liberals and conservatives, it means his general careful statements didn't really say anything. Now, I haven't heard everything he said, and I believe he's gotten a little more specific since the time I wrote that tweet, so I'm still kind of reading the tweet. I'm not doctoring it, but you know, there was a lot of, it's almost like there was something for everybody, and yet there's a couple of things I don't think he ever talked about, like ISIS cutting people's heads off, Christians being murdered around the world.
No, don't mention that.
I know he said sanctity of life that some interpreted as abortion. At that time, he hadn't used the word abortion. He may have said more about it in the last couple of days.
He said it every stage of development, I think.
Okay, well, then that's a little more specific, but I've gotten so tired of it, I haven't been listening. But that, I just had to read the tweet as it honestly was in real time. Now, but I saved the best for last, and it was the last one I put up there. This is my favorite. Boehner says he decided to quit after talking with the Pope. I sure hope the Pope spent lots of time with President Obama.
I saw that when you wrote it, and I laughed out loud. And I have a rule that I will give credit the first time when I quote somebody. I'll say, Bob Siegel said, and then the second time
then
I'll
say... Then after that, it's Jim Barrier said.
No, the second time, it's one radio personality said, and then the third time, you just own it.
I heard this somewhere. I like that. The three stages of development.
Yeah.
Not unlike the three stages of jihad, but... you would say it in Texas, jihad! Okay. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it was a little longer because I let my friend Jim jump in, but you've been listening to Tweets from your old pal, Bob.
It's hosting like Suburbison. Tweets, tweet, tweets, tweet, tweets. It's hosting like Suburbison. Sweet, 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 sweet.
This is Dana Wright, a reoccurring co-host on The Bob Siegel Show. You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, W&S Electric.
Bob Siegel's new fantasy novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, is now available on Kindle, Nook, and in print copy. Check out some of the wonderful customer reviews on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Wow, what an incredible story. Well-written, believable characters.
The story takes twists and turns that keep surprising the reader. Although it is written from the perspective of a preteen, it is most appealing to an adult. It takes one back to those feelings and longing for adventure. I can't wait for the sequel. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. I will not be with you for the next 2 weeks. My lovely bride and I are actually continuing our honeymoon. We kind of did a two-parter because she gets more time off in October being a principal and having the strange school year rotations, very different than when I went to school, where you had a break in the summer and a break at Christmas, maybe one at Easter. Oh, yeah, we were allowed to call it Christmas and Easter. Now it's spring break, winter break. Anyway, we've always loved Disneyland. We're going to be at Disney World. But the Bob Siegel Show always goes on, even when your old pal Bob is not in town. Next week, film critic and friend and often co-host Mark Boubian will be doing a live show. And the week after that, we will have a select repeat broadcast for you. But today, I'm still here, still live, and with my very good friend, Pastor Jim Barrier from San Antonio, Texas. Jim, welcome back to our program.
It's good to be here. And I have read The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. But I have to confess, I did the Kindle version, and as the mysterious aunt says, computers are okay, but we must never stop reading books. And so I felt a little conflicted when I read that on my Kindle.
Oh, my God. Well, wow, how about that? I'm actually meeting one of the readers. Oh, thank you.
Great book.
Well, now take that and go with it this Christmas, because you can buy a print copy for one of your loved ones at Christmas.
There's some marketing ideas. You know, you package it with a Christmas ornament.
Oh, my wife has come up with that. Oh, she's
why
she's
did
had
I think
some
I
wonderful.
Would...
I'm the worst person at marketing myself. By the way, I should say to the audience, since we've been advertising that book, when I was in college, what I always hated was when somebody came into your church and spoke, and then his books were on sale. And I vowed that if I ever did that, I would do it differently. When I do speak, we make books available, and people can give a donation if they want. But I give many free ones. Certainly, it's sold on Amazon right now. That money's just going to pay for the publication of more books. If the day ever comes when I become independently wealthy over those books and I don't have to raise support for ministry anymore, I'll still stay in the ministry and be a tent maker like Paul. So just, I felt I needed to say that because we advertise it. But right now, I'm not really making any money off of it. That would be a nice problem to have. And if I have it, it just means I can fund my ministry myself. But now I'm sounding too much like Donald Trump. I'm not beholden to anybody.
Segue.
Trump's foreign policy. It's going to be great. I don't know what we're going to do, but trust me, it'll be great.
You know,
I was going to say, I kind of drove the first half with the tweets. I know you have some news items and questions and things you wanted to raise, so we'll let you drive the second.
The Donald, when he started gaining momentum, and I have friends on Facebook and everywhere else, and I had some people that just were going nuts about the Donald. And
it kind of reminds me of them when they were saying the Obama. Sounds too much like the Messiah, you know?
Well, he was the Donald long before Barry came on the scene, but excuse me for that.
Well, I don't mind you calling him Barry.
Okay.
That's his name.
Well, I don't want to offend anybody, Bob.
Well, I don't care if you offend them, but the Department of Justice may be at our door and have something to say about it.
I'm kind of like you. I actually make a living offending people, only I do it from a pulpit. So.
Only today I go, it wasn't me. I brought on my good friend Jim Barry. I had no idea what he'd say. I never give my opinion like that on the air. It was just this week when Jim Barrier was on.
Well, what I didn't get, and I asked people this straight up, here's a guy who... been married 3 times, and I understand that sometimes you don't get it right the first time.
Well,
I'll
give him that. Kennedy was a horrible womanizer, but he was one of our better presidents. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. 4 times he's filed bankruptcy. And his most famous line is, you're fired. And so I think, okay, and where's all that traditional value thing we used to talk about? Where is that in there? You know, it harkens back to a line when there was one Bill Clinton in office. Remember him?
I remember Bill.
And Dennis Miller, who I love, said, the American people don't care what Bill Clinton does to them as long as he leaves $20 on the dresser in the morning. And
Mr. Clinton, what's your opinion of the situation in Rwanda? Rwanda? I haven't met her yet. All right. We'll be right back. Looking for a church that will not only challenge you, but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda, but you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear, but they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. This is Bob Siegel and Jim Barron. Jim, I know we talk about this off the air, but I want to invite you on the air to start becoming one of my regular co-hosts. I have a rotation of about five. Dana, my lovely wife, is one of them. I can't tell you that you're as lovely as my wife, Dana. But these days, yeah. After that Supreme Court ruling, I can say that all over the place. But I think we have a blast together. I think you would make a great co-host. You'll have to have you on the phone once in a while because you'll be in San Antonio. You're not always in San Diego. But
I think I would really like to do that. I really miss this because, as you know, we had a show in Texas, and I've been on this show, and I really love the arena. And so, I think there's a great potential there. It's all just working out how the schedule rolls.
So that's a yes I'm hearing?
That's a yes.
Okay,
it's an election year. I can't give you a...
So now let me show you the contract here, Jim. Your payment to be on the show. Now, we can either do it on the 12-month plan where you do an installment, or we can do a one lump. No.
Okay, Sounds like a Ponzi scheme to me.
Well, we were in the middle of... that's because it is. We were in the middle of talking about... Speaking of Ponzi schemes, we were in the middle of talking about Trump.
Well, I'm not really sold on the guy. I'll tell you what.
Mixed review. That's what I'd give him at this point. It's nice to hear someone speak his mind, but the guy could say or do anything.
Well, he can, and I do appreciate the fact that no one's going to be in his pockets. It's kind of like when Arnold ran for governor here. He said, "I'm a millionaire. No one's going to be buying my vote," and whatever. But
hey, you got to give it to Arnold. For years, people said that he wasn't a good actor, but he fooled us for years into thinking he was a Republican. He should have gotten the Academy Award for that. It's only when he became governor that we found out it was a performance.
I like the line that said, "You're as good a politician as you were an actor." He said, "What a cheap shot." I like Arnold's movies.
Of course, I'm a Republican. I do a very good job in California.
That's offensive. That's offensive to Austrians everywhere.
Well, yeah, but Austrians aren't a lobby group. Yeah, there's some accents you can still do. You can still do the Austrian without going to jail.
Well, you will remember 8 years ago when everybody was running in the primaries, and I couldn't have been more wrong at this time in that process about who I thought was going to be running. I was sure it was going to be Giuliani and Hillary running against each other, and of course, we know that didn't work out.
Yeah, I'd like to see Hillary run against
anybody.
Fiorina, Carly Fiorina. Oh, she would massacre her at the debate.
Well, here's my ticket.
Messy if that happened.
Carly and Ben, or Ben and Carly. I don't care.
I love both of them.
And then so now they can't play the race card or the gender card.
Oh wait, my friend. Of course, the Democrats can't play the race card. Ben Carson isn't really black. He's an Oreo. White on the inside.
Yeah.
Carly Fiorina isn't a real woman. A real woman today is defined as being pro-choice, pro-lesbian. Oh, they just make this stuff up. I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
It could backfire. It would be so messy. She'd massacre Hillary at the debate.
Yeah.
Hillary's only way out, her only lifeline, would be to start crying. And then we would hear about how poor Hillary was beaten up by Carly. And
you never know.
Hillary might still get the sympathy vote.
I hope not.
I would pay tickets to watch that debate.
I would too. I love Carly. What I'm saying is it's so early now.
Anything
so many things can happen because they will dig up any dirt they can.
And they'll do it.
And
look what happened to Herman Cain, Michelle.
Exactly.
I have a feeling that when the dust settles, I'm not sure Jeb Bush is going to recover from the pounding Trump gave him, but I have a feeling the dust is going to settle and it's going to be John Kasich. And I used to enjoy him when he filled in for Bill O'Reilly, but he's now your middle of the road. Let's be bipartisan. Whenever the Republicans are willing to be bipartisan with the Democrats, the bipartisanship is Republicans, you do things our way.
Yeah.
That's the bipartisanship.
Yeah, when's the last Democrat that did that?
They don't do that.
No.
They do all kinds of things. It's kind of funny. When Republicans lose the election and you have more Democrats in the House and Senate, what we hear is Republicans, suck it up. The people have voted. Then when the Republicans take the House and the Democrats are in the minority, the people were bipartisanship. Yeah, it's just amazing.
It is. When I was at the beach yesterday, I had this... Sometimes I have these moments where I recognize something, and it in my mind it just happened. Then I'm looking out there, and I see these magnificent pelicans. They're one of my favorite birds, and they're just skimming along there looking for fish, and then they dive, and they go down there, and they get a fish, and they eat it. And they're working hard. They're working the coast. And then on the shore are the seagulls, and they wait until someone leaves their picnic, and they run and they steal the Cheetos out of somebody else's picnic.
Well, we seagulls were always smarter than pelicans.
Well, what I realize is that pelicans are Republicans and seagulls are Democrats.
That's great. I had an economist friend on the show one time, and he gave me his take on the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats.
Yeah.
He says that he used the example of the parasite sucking blood from the host. He said the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats, that they'll both be bloodsuckers, but the Republicans realize you have to still leave enough blood to keep the host alive so that you can keep feeding off them. The Democrats don't seem to realize that you can leave that host dead, and then they shrug their hands like grease, and they say, what are we going to do now?
Yeah, somebody get me another warm body.
Well, you had some other. You said you had some questions or some thoughts.
I had a bunch of. We're just flowing along here.
We're kind of getting through them by osmosis.
We're doing good.
Well, that music tells me that you have some time to think about how good we're doing and come back with
some closing remarks.
There we go. With that great Chariots of Fire music. I think it's because you just talked about the beach. We can imagine them jogging on the beach. Right. All right, we'll be right back.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out his online column, Forbidden Table Talk, published and hosted weekly by Communities Digital News. Bob is also a regular contributor to San Diego Rostra. We invite you to visit Bob's website at www.bobsiegel.net. You can listen to previous radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and find information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. BobSiegel.net.
Siegel Show. I'm here with my good friend and fellow pastor, and we just promoted him to fellow co-host, and we actually don't charge our co-hosts anything to be on this show. I was just having some fun at my friend's expense, but I'm absolutely delighted that you're going to be coming on and joining me for the show, and maybe once a month, maybe every month and a half.
I think we can work that
depending
out.
On how good you do one of the times will kind of determine how
is
soon
like,
they have you
is
back.
There spring training or an apprenticeship or is there some sort of thing where I pass?
Well, you know, actually, the more you disagree with me on the air, the better radio it makes. So I
I could do that,
and,
Bob.
And I always think you're entitled to be wrong because God's a very forgiving God. So if you disagree with me, we'll just talk about the grace of God and we'll be fine.
I would like to wax pastoral for
a
minute.
Absolutely.
Because something I've wanted to say, and every time there's an election, the Christian community gets really up in arms about things. And so just to be pastoral for a moment, I'd like to remind the believers out there that listen that the apostle said a couple of things. One, he said, we wrestle not with flesh and blood.
Absolutely.
And then he said, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, which is the same word. And I'd like to remind you, listeners, Donald is not the enemy. Hillary is not the enemy. Monsanto is not the enemy. Planned Parenthood is not the enemy. Those are surface level things to, you know, to get us distracted and get us all riled up. The real enemy is subtle.
Yeah. And to those that aren't Christians, they may not understand the real enemy, but that we as Christians believe that there's another dimension. And it sounds kind of science fiction. And they're enemy spiritual beings of God known as demons.
Yeah.
And they deceive and they put thoughts in people's minds. And the Bible does say our war is not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. So that's a good thing to keep in mind. Now, having said that, though, Jesus and the apostles and the prophets would speak out against the evil human institutions.
Absolutely.
They spoke out against slavery. Jesus spoke out against King Herod. They were willing to call a man evil if they became evil. But the source of the evil is Satan. And for anybody who's even the people that are the worst critics of Christianity, we pray for them. We pray for their souls. The worst enemy of Christianity in the New Testament days was Paul before he became Paul.
That's
when he
right.
was Saul. And when he got converted, the church couldn't believe it at first. So and imagine if somebody who's a big enemy of Christianity, you know, imagine if somebody like that actually became a Christian. We've got to keep that in mind, too.
And there have been those in history.
Absolutely.
Malcolm Muggeridge was
Bill Maher is one of the most outspoken critics. And yet Bill Maher, in his own way, seems to be looking for the truth when I listen to him. Imagine if he became a Christian.
Yeah, he hasn't been too sympathetic to
ISIS. Well, hey, you know, Jim, when I came out of an atheist Jewish family.
Yeah, yeah.
And when Jews for Jesus came out, I was enraged. I told two schoolmates in San Jose City Junior College on a Monday.
Yeah.
That the Jews for Jesus were traitors. I told my two girlfriends I'd rather go to hell than become a Christian, if hell even exists, which I don't think it does.
Yeah.
One day later, I became a Christian.
See,
one week later, I went back and told them they should give their lives to Christ, and their jaws dropped so low they could suck marbles out of a gopher hole.
And I love when those kind of things happen. But I'm trying to keep my congregation
give them the perspective,
a sense of that, and we have to speak out about injustice. And we have to be honest, we have to be fair, and we have to give it to both sides when necessary.
This show, if you've listened to time, we have different kinds of shows. We do political shows. But there are times when I bring on my friend Greg Jarvis, and we're very critical of the church, which means critical of ourselves and our own practices, too. We'll be self-criticizing. But you know, you're mentioning the gospel has two sides, and we don't hear this a lot from evangelicals.
Right.
Because liberation theology has hijacked one of the sides and they've gone too far with it.
Yeah.
But it is a legitimate side. The side that we stress as evangelicals is that the good news of the gospel is that Jesus can deliver you from sin you've committed, deliver in the sense of forgive you. But the other side of it is that Jesus wants to deliver you against sin committed against you. When your church goes out and feeds the poor, you're delivering the poor people from a greedy society that's abused them.
Okay. Yeah,
but speaking out against an evil politician, or when Bonhoeffer lived in Nazi Germany and spoke against Hitler, he too was looking at the other side of the gospel and speaking out against. It's just that history is always 20/20. We look at the abolitionists, Christians. We look at Bonhoeffer and the confessional church that resisted the Nazis, Christians.
Yeah.
We look back and go, well, of course, who could have been a Christian in those days and not resisted that evil? Well, there were a lot of people that called themselves Christians in those days. And they said, oh, we're just here to preach forgiveness. Well, these days, you know, people say, oh, you're on the wrong side of history. My friend, the right side of history is usually determined many years later. We're speaking out now as Christians against some institutions, some people, some programs that we think are evil. And yet, as we do that, as I pray, I'll say, God, I pray that this person would be stopped. Now, if they could be stopped by them having a change of heart and giving their lives to Jesus, so much the better, so much the better. But it is still evil. And Lord, we do pray that you stop it.
You know, I was a teenager in the 60s here in San Diego in Southern California.
Now, that must have been a long time ago.
Long time ago.
I got to ask you, when you were a kid, did they have any such subject as history in school?
They didn't have history yet.
They hadn't admitted that.
Nor did we have cell phones.
Okay.
But I was very involved in all of that. You know, we were going to talk about anti-war. We'll have to do it on another show. But I was very, you know.
That would be a fun one. Let's have an informal debate about war.
So I was anti-war. I was pro-civil rights. I was doing all of that stuff. And when I became, and I'll be honest with you, I don't use the word Christian very often now. It's like Inigo Montoya. You keep using that word. I don't think that word means what you think
it means. Nobody understands what it means, yeah.
So, but as a follower of Jesus, when I was converted, immediately I had this understanding that the only way I was going to change the world was one person at a time from the inside out.
And usually we have to start with ourselves.
Exactly.
I have to change myself or like God changed me from the inside out.
And that's still my plan. So, but I have voted in every election since I was 18. I'm very proactive. The things that we do, we're very social minded, and I have spoke at pro life rallies, and of course, the last time I was invited to this one particular group, they asked me to pray, and I said, you know, in the prayer I said, judgment doesn't begin in the White House; it begins in God's house.
The Bible says exactly that. Judgment begins with the household of God.
Yeah, and salvation doesn't come from Capitol Hill. It comes from Calvary's Hill. So they didn't ask me back.
I know. Well, you pulled a Ben Carson on them. You spoke the truth. And, and I should say, and I've railed against what's going on in the secular universities.
Yeah.
And yet I've had a lot of experiences with Christian colleges that have these boundaries of orthodoxy that you dare not rattle and claiming that their doctrines, a lot of times Christians claim certain doctrines are biblical, and I look long and hard in the Bible and I can't find a one of them. So that's the other side of it. We do need to be personally reflective. We do need to make sure our own house is
aware. And we need to be conscientious and we need to be educated. And please, 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 if you call yourself a Christian or a follower of Christ or a person of faith, if the Bible is somewhat the basis for your philosophy, please read it.
I know. That's true. So many people, and this is going on with the Bible and the Quran, where people like, even Charles Krauthammer, now he's a man that I respect. He's not even a believer of God. I believe he's a self-avowed atheist, but he got up and says, nobody's really an authority, and none of us are an authority on the Quran. He's talking about Ben Carson. We're not authorities on the Quran, so he shouldn't have said anything. Well, the subtlety to that argument, I'm thinking, well, Krauthammer, if you're not an authority, and thank you for admitting that, then how do you know that Ben Carson might not have studied it more than you do? Right. We shouldn't don't assume that Ben Carson knows the Quran, but obviously Krauthammer hadn't read the Quran, or he would have saw that what Ben Carson said was the truth. So isn't it interesting? It's like when the person says it's wrong to judge, that person has just judged you. Wrong to judge.
You know.
It's amazing, the little nuances and Freudian slips that give away people's true positions.
And things that people think are in the Bible that are not in the Bible.
Yeah. Like God helps those who help themselves. Yeah, I've heard people quote that for years. Yeah. God actually helps those that put their trust in faith. Now, you could say God gave us brains, and the book of Proverbs talks about using our head. Another thing that makes us real kindred spirits, Jim, is we both believe in the second coming of Christ.
Yes.
But we both believe that we should influence this world and try to make it
a
better place.
Here.
Because we don't know when Christ is coming. We talked about this at the top of the show with the blood. We don't know when he's coming. But ladies and gentlemen, he's coming for you sometime in your lifetime, because you don't know what day you're going to die. And
that's
if he actually returns to this earth in your lifetime, so much the better. But he's coming for you in your lifetime. Okay, Jim, we'll have you on again soon.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Bob Siegel Show will be back next week without Bob Siegel, with film critic Mark Boubian. But the show will be back nevertheless.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.